Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in the studio right now is John Pepin. He is Deputy Public Information Officer from the DNR. Also from the DNR is Terry Minzy. He is the UP Regional Wildlife Supervisor. And J.R. Richardson. Terry and J.R. are members of the UP CWD Task Force. We're going to be talking about chronic wasting disease during this segment. And so I think that's probably the best place to start with is, what is chronic wasting disease and how does it affect deer?
Okay, I think the best way to answer that question, rather than getting into all the scientific jargon, is to have people think about mad cow disease. This is a transmissible disease that's caused by a mutated protein. So it's not a bacteria, it's not a virus, it's something that we can't kill. Temperatures of over 1100 degrees Fahrenheit will not destroy this thing. Pure bleach solutions will break it down by about 50%. When this mutated protein gets into the animal, it touches normal proteins and causes them to mutate. Situations in humans that would be relevant or analogous would be Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, and then what we call Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease. Chronic wasting disease is 100% fatal. If a deer gets it, it will die from it. Unfortunately, it doesn't, you know, it's not one of those things that you can see right away, because the deer can get infected. They can live anywhere from a year and a half to 5 years after they're infected. The entire time, it takes about 42 days from date of infection till they start sloughing off these proteins and shedding them into the environment. So they're passing it on when they urinate, when they defecate, when they salivate, if somebody's got a sugar beet on the ground and an infected deer feeds on that sugar beet, another deer can come in and feed on it and pick up the disease. We know that it will persist in the environment for at least 16 years and most likely longer, because that's as long as the research has gone on. It can be incorporated into the grass plants. It can be passed on by two other animals when they eat the grass plant that picked it up from the soils. So, you know, it's really an insidious disease that we're dealing with. And if we don't have a handle on it, it's going to change the face of the Upper Peninsula in terms of deer hunting.
When we started seeing reports of this here that we were running on our news, probably about 2 years ago, I think, is when we first started, you know, seeing things come. And, you know, I would post this stuff and we'd get questions like, well, what's CWD? And then, you know, people would look at it and then realize, oh, okay, well, it's not here. It's just downstate, or it's a little west from us. And you know, our UP hunters, you know, weren't as worried about it. As it's starting to kind of grow and get closer, it really has one of the almost horror story type of plot lines of what could happen if it does, you know, if and when it does get into the Upper Peninsula, and how it could devastate the deer herd population. And with everything else that is going on, that it's affecting our deer herd, the harsh winters that we've had, climate change, and then you had, you know, the CWD, if that was to get in here, could we look at something as dangerous as, you know, couple of decades from now, and you know, an extinct deer population in the UP?
If it gets here and we don't handle it properly, absolutely. They've done the studies out in Wyoming already where they're predicting extinction of a mule deer herd in 40 years and a white-tailed deer herd in 49 years, because those populations are declining. The mule deer herd's declining at a rate of 20% per year. The white-tail's declining at a rate of 10% per year. So, and then if it gets into the environment, we never get rid of it. We can never get rid of it once it gets into the environment. And you start hearing about it 2 years ago, because that's when it popped up 30 miles from our border in a penned-in facility down in Three Lakes, Wisconsin. Since then, it's popped up in another facility in Wisconsin about 40 miles from our border down in Gillett. So it's making its way here. We also know that crows and ravens can feed on contaminated meat, fly away, defecate, spread the disease, as can coyotes and wolves. So, yeah, it could cause an extinction if we don't pay attention.
Does the disease only affect deer?
Right now, it's in the deer family, so it affects deer, elk, white-tailed deer, elk, mule deer, and moose. They have it in elk out west, they have it in moose out west, they have it in both of our deer species. Having said that, while we've never seen it in humans, there's research out there to show that there's no definitive barrier to keep it from getting into humans. We've not seen it, we don't think it's in humans, but there's no definitive barrier to stop that from happening.
you compared it to mad cow disease, and of course there was a scare about eating affected meat. Any concerns about, you know, for hunting deer eating infected venison?
Yes. Just because we haven't seen it doesn't mean that it can't mutate and come into humans. We suspect that chronic wasting disease is a mutation from scrapies in sheep. Mad cow disease, it took, 20 million exposures or something like that, but then 250 people died from mad cow disease. In addition, they've just done some analysis and they found that there's something like 200,000 people in the United Kingdom and 2 million people in the greater Europe that are latent carriers of mad cow disease. They haven't expressed the disease yet, but they're finding the prions in those people. So I won't eat it. If I've gotten infected there, there's no way in the world I'm eating it.
But the CWD hasn't been found to be...
Right. It has not been found in people. We don't know that it ever will.
And we hope it never does, but you should be very you know, be aware, and it's your body.
Yes, yeah.
And as we stand today, it's not been detected at all in the Upper Peninsula.
Correct.
Okay. Does that mean it's not here?
No. We've got two scenarios across the landscape in North America. Places where we know there's chronic wasting disease and places that we can't prove that there isn't.
Okay. We're on a prevention campaign, and that's what we're trying to get through to everybody. You know, everything we can do, you know, if you look at statistically, you know, they say, and I'm sure Terry believes this and John, that it's inevitable, but, you know, and everything we can do to stop that that from being inevitable is what we're doing, and that's part of what we're on a campaign to do, is to make sure people understand the different pathways that it can get up here and communicate that to people so we can do everything in our power to keep it the heck out of here.
What efforts are being done right now in the areas where chronic wasting disease is seen in order to try to contain it and keep it there?
Well, for the most part, if you have for example, we've got chronic wasting disease in Lower Michigan. Somebody shoots a deer in that area, they cannot take a whole carcass out of that area unless tested negative for the disease. Otherwise, all they can take out is the boned out meat, the skull cap, and the cape. Similarly, we don't allow anybody to bring whole carcasses in. If you go out and hunt in Wyoming and Nebraska, you know, any of the other 23 other states that have chronic wasting disease, legally you cannot bring back that carcass. All you can bring back is the boned out meat, the skull cap, and the cape.
You didn't mention Wisconsin.
Well, Wisconsin's there, and there's 24 states in the nation that have chronic wasting
disease. Canada.
And three provinces in Canada. Oh. Now the disease has spread to Norway. They've got it in moose and reindeer in Norway, and it's spread from Saskatchewan, Canada, to South Korea in an elk herd.
Because I think what we're going to push is, rather than, you know, say 23 states, we don't bring deer from out of state into Michigan without treating them properly, because, you know, you can't sit there and, like, roll the dice on, well, am I in state 24 that doesn't have it yet? And they could, like Terry, I just reviewed it very well, could be there. They just haven't found it yet. So I think one of our recommendations is going to be to, you know, if it comes from anywhere but the UP, bone it, you know, and treat it like it has it. And that's part of our prevention message.
Yeah, and so, this is what started after the detection a couple of years ago that Terry mentioned in Wisconsin within 30 miles of the border. We started the Keep the UP CWD Free campaign, and that was an education and outreach campaign to hunters and try to get more awareness of the disease. And one of the main focuses was this idea of when you hunt out west or out of state, don't bring animals back to Michigan. And some of the efforts we undertook were to, for 2 years now, we've been putting up billboards along the Michigan-Wisconsin borders, telling hunters, if you're going out of state, you know the rules and know what's happening. And there's also been, we've done interviews and we've produced some fact sheets and done some television and newspaper articles, just trying to get the word out with hunters to have them more aware of this.
Oh, go ahead, Terry.
Well, what I want to do, I want to come back to something you just said, JR, and that is, don't bring any carcasses back. 2 years ago, they didn't know that they had it in Arkansas. They found their first diseased deer 2 years ago in Arkansas. Now that they're testing, 30% of their herd is infected. So be vigilant. Pay attention to what the hell you're doing out there.
Because another one of the things we're looking at and we talked about is even bringing deer from downstate back up to the UP. And that's one of the things that, you know, we had talked about, you know, where your biggest bang for the buck is. And people talk about, you know the year ends and the you know, different things people use to draw in animals when you're hunting. And, you know, even sugar beets from downstate and all that. And basically what the biology says in the state veterinarian, Kelly Straka, is that that's kind of unlikely, but he says, probably the way it's going to come into the UP is either through a cervid or through a carcass, right, Terry?
Right, right. You know, and you look, because it can be incorporated into grasses, people are buying second-cut alfalfa from central or southern Wisconsin. We know that it can be spread that way. So you want to be careful where you're bringing all your food items from if you're baiting and feeding. Ultimately, we need to take a look at how we're operating as hunters out there, not only in terms of bringing animals in, but also in terms of the methods that we're using. And are we facilitating the spread? If we don't know it's there, are we going to facilitate the spread?
As we talk about prevention, and I'll go and talk to a lot of my friends, and you know, most of the Upers are hunters, and most of them would have no idea about the carcass regulations, I would say. Well, I would say a lot of them wouldn't know, and it's a part of why it's nice to have us on today, is that we can spread that message. And it's sort of like why we created the task force, the UPCWD task force, is to, you know, to get the stakeholders involved and get them to get the message out, you know. And I think they've done a heck of a good job at it. And I mean, our goal in life is to look at the rules and regulations as they sit now, see if we can live with what's going to happen, because I think Terry can go through what will happen if they do find CWD in the UP and what the current rules say. And if we're comfortable with what and how they read and we can live with that, then we're going to continue to spread the message. And if we want to make recommendations on baiting and feeding, because it's obviously when you live, you had talked about earlier, you know, the different things that are against the deer, it's almost like the perfect storm in the UP. You know, when they do a predator prey study, and they say in the mid-snowfall zone that no fawns survived in the second year of that high snowfall. I mean, you're losing generations of deer anyway. And all of a sudden, you have less cutting because there's just less of that going on up here. You have less habitat. You have predators, you know, anything. I used to wolves, the bobcats, the bears. And the next thing you know, here you go, you got a CWD virus going around, and you're going like, you know, what's the positives for these deer? And what we have to do is make sure that we can take the things we can control, which is spreading CWD and habitat. And that's two of the biggest things that we're working on.
And one of the other factors for the UP that's different is the migrating deer herd.
Terry, the distance, right?
Yeah. Deer travel as opposed to downstate.
Well, I know that in the 5-6 years that I've been living in the Upper Peninsula, there's been a shift because we've had some of the, you know, those several harsh winters in a row. When I first came up here, I didn't meet a hunter that traveled anywhere other than just here to go hunting. Well, because there was so fewer deer, I know over the last couple of years, I know quite a few hunters who have gone other places. It's sort of like the reverse deer camp. From when I'm from downstate, everybody went north. Well, here people are going to other places because it's easier to get a deer, you know, outside of the Keweenaw area, and some may even go downstate, as Jared was mentioning.
I mean, that used to be a cardinal sin if you told a Uper he's going to go downstate to deer hunt. Not happening. But now it, you know, it happens, and you're going like, really?
Yeah. Well, and in the case of the Keweenaw, because there is so much feeding going on up here just to sustain the herd, if we get this disease in the Keweenaw, you've really got a huge issue. Almost all of your deer up here are fed. You know, the sportsmen's clubs, they're feeding over 100,000 pounds of deer feed a year, just trying to keep their herd alive. So it's going to be that much more important for the hunters north of the canal not to be bringing carcasses back. They do not want that disease up there.
Can the disease be spread through things like deer feed and salt licks as well?
Oh, absolutely, because it can be spread through urine, feces, and saliva. So if you're putting a salt lick out and an infected deer is licking on that salt lick, an uninfected deer can come and lick and pick it up from the saliva. So absolutely.
The nose-to-nose contact, and it'd probably be a good time for you to maybe review what you know, if we found CWD in Otonagon County or pick a county, what would go into effect the way it is now?
So right now, the way it stands, if we find a free-ranging animal that is infected with chronic wasting disease, we're going to put a 10-mile radius around that point. And we're going to start sampling the herd. We're going to put an end to baiting and feeding in that area. And that area can, the commission has a power to modify this. But essentially, we'll put a baiting and feeding ban in there, and we're going to start killing deer in order to test them. Now, in a lot of ways, we'll be able to test deer that hunters kill. If we're down, say, down Menominee County, where farmers are killing deer on crop damage permits, we'll take those deer and test those so that we don't have to kill extra deer. But we have to start testing deer in order to find out how far this disease has spread and which way it's spreading.
You have to get the proper statistical analysis, right. And you just don't do that by roadkill and regular hunting and farm permits. You have to.
We'll probably have to do some sharpshooters.
Nobody wants to hear that.
down in Mecosta County, in order to be able to detect the disease at 0.1%, right around the facility where they found that disease, they have to kill 2,800 deer. You know, I don't think we have enough deer in many places of the peninsula in order to do the testing that it takes to be certain that we don't have the disease. So let's not do the things that brings in the disease.
Right, prevention. I mean, that's what we're all about. And, you know, we're looking at, right now, the way it's set up is if the 10-mile radius, and it's the counties within those radiuses.
Right.
So you could have three counties. You could have 100 square miles that would be under that ban. So that's something that we're looking at and maybe make a recommendation on. It's a different animal than the UP than it is.
Actually, any county that has a border within that 10-mile radius, baiting and feeding would be banned on. So if you find this disease in the corner between Ontonagon and Houghton County, both of those counties are going to be shut down. Now, Ontonagon's a big county. That's 1,100 square miles. Houghton is, 900 square miles. That's right. You're looking at 2,000 square miles.
They're Wayne County size large, so, they're probably the third and fourth largest counties in the state. So that's one thing that we're looking at is that really realistic in places like that? And that's why we're having part of the reason for the CWD task force is to make sure that people that are the hunters and the sportsmen that it's going to affect are aware of what's going to happen. They can live with what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. So
earlier in this interview, I thought maybe I was overstating it a little bit when I was saying it was, such a frightening concept and, how the damage it could do to the deer herd, like something out of a Stephen King novel that was written for deer. But, you're talking about one confirmed case in Ewan Trout Creek, and then all of a sudden the domino effect just spreads out and hunting's over for a better part.
Chances are when we find that one case, it's not the only case out there. And we found that case, the ones down in Lansing. We found that case because that deer was just about ready to die. Now, you cannot physically identify a deer that's sick with chronic wasting disease until the last month of its life. You don't see how emaciated it is. It doesn't get emaciated until just the last few weeks of life. So that animal could be out there spreading those prions for 4.5 years. And you wouldn't know it was sick. In the case down here in the Lansing area, that was an animal that was going from bird feeder to bird feeder to bird feeder backyards in a fairly metropolitan area. And so that animal had to have been sick for at least a year and a half to get to the point where it was as emaciated as it was. So I would phrase it this way. This is science fiction turned into science fact in the deer population. White-tailed deer, We have over-exploited them through market hunting. We've destroyed the habitat twice in the Upper Peninsula, and the animals were able to recover. We get this disease. There's no going backwards. We never get rid of this disease.
And we're basically surrounded by it. I mean, if you look at Wisconsin and Lower Michigan and Ontario, it's in Minnesota. So, prevention. I can't say it enough what we'd ask the people that are listening to do is that, when communicate this and talk to people about how they see their friend come back with a full deer carcass from Montana, spread the word and say that's not what we want to see. We want to see him deboned and caped. And, we need to spread this word, and we can't do it. We're doing it today, but person-to-person talking, nothing beats that. So,
an example of what JR is talking about, this past December, I was on Drummond Island, clear over the other end of the peninsula, separated by water from everything. talking to people about deer, and I always start my discussions with a chronic wasting disease discussion. And we had three people sitting in the room who had just come back from Wyoming, didn't know they couldn't bring the carcasses back. Wyoming is one of the really hot spots. Wisconsin's another really hot spot for this disease. And an analogy for folks that are familiar with medicine, think of a glaucoma patient who, you know, they start out and they have a wide field of vision. And their field of vision is closing in. Pretty soon, all they've got is tunnel vision. That's where we're at right now. They just confirmed it in Minnesota, in southern Minnesota. They've got it in two facilities in the Brainerd area. They have it in Wisconsin, and it's moving north. It's at endemic levels in Wisconsin. We've got it in lower Michigan. It's all around us. We have to pay attention to what we're doing if we want to protect our resource.
John, we encourage people to always get their deer checked when they're hunting. Is it most of the people, do they get their deer checked?
I think a lot of people get their deer checked, but there's going to be an extra focus on that, especially this fall. And we've already done some checking of roadkill deer and also crop damage permit deer. And again, no CWD found so far, but especially along the Michigan-Wisconsin border, there's going to be extra effort to have hunters check their deer. Last year, we were checking any deer that hunters wanted checked.
The CWD task force for the Upper Peninsula, who's involved in that?
What we tried to do is get the stakeholders involved, and that would be most of the UP Whitetails groups, and then the Upper Peninsula Sportsmen's Alliance. So what we wanted to do was get the sportsmen involved and, you know, obviously the DNR and the state veterinarian, and get the right people in the room to just discuss things like we talked about, the baiting and the feeding and the cerveds. One thing that Terry could also talk about is if you find one in a cerved, that cerved's going to be, you know, every deer in that cerved's going to be.
You're talking about a cerved facility. So a fenced-in facility where people go in to shoot deer, or people are raising deer to sell to someone that has others shoot captive deer, basically. Yeah, we will depopulate. That will have to be depopulated. And actually, that's handled by Department of Ag.
That's the Department of Ag deal, but that's happened downstate at...
Yeah, that happened in Kent County the first time we found it in 2008, and it's happening now in Mecosta County.
Okay, so it's happened twice. Anyways, what we want to do is have the stakeholders involved and the people most affected involved. And what we want them to do is be comfortable with what could happen if CWD is found, and once they're comfortable with that, to be supportive and go and be on our, you know, I'll be partners in this and find this disease, because this is something we can't afford to be on debating about once it gets here. We all have to be on the same page and be strong, because the department needs the partners, and without them, we will fail.
So right now, you guys are working on a policy, a sort of response plan for when it's, if it's discovered here. And who is going to approve that plan when you're all done?
The Natural Resource Commission, which will bring, what we're going to do, we're going to have a meeting on this Tuesday. And it's hard because there's a lot. I mean, you could spend a month reading all the research. I mean, you could spend a lot and spend lots of time on it. But what we want to do is try to get out there as quickly as we can. And what we'd like to do is we have a meeting on Tuesday, get some recommendations downstate on the present rules, and then, you know, give a presentation to Natural Resource Commission in May.
If people need to find out more, or they, you know, want you to come in to talk to their sporting group, and how can they get a hold of the task force?
Yeah, you can get a hold of us through probably the Marquette DNR office or your local DNR office. Also, if you want a lot more information on CWD, it's michigan.gov/CWD. There's all types of our fact sheets for the UP and a whole bunch of different things about the plan, these measures we've talked about today as well.
There's another website that folks really ought to go and check out. It's called the CWD Alliance. So I think it's cwdinfo.org. But if they just type in CWD Alliance in their internet search, it'll take them to that. That keeps up with the latest science and the latest happenings where they're finding the disease. In the Upper Peninsula, here's what folks need to walk away with. In the Upper Peninsula, if we get this, it's going to spread most likely much faster than it does any place else because of the seasonal movements of our deer and the interaction of our deer from summer range to winter range. So out in Wyoming where they've got it and things are going bad, those animals migrate up and down watersheds. They're kind of discrete populations. In the UP, you'll have deer from summer range that will go separate ways to winter range and interact with deer that came from other locations. So the connection of our population is much more finite, I guess I would say.
They're more migrant deer.
Well, they're migrant, but when they migrate, they come together with deer from other areas. So,
right.
So the ability to facilitate spread is much higher here, and that's related to the snow that we get. So they need to understand. We can watch it in Wisconsin, and it's really bad in southwest Wisconsin right now. We can watch what's happening down there. It's spreading out, but not nearly as fast as it will if it hits us.
We'll definitely encourage everybody to get educated and to help prevent. Thanks, gentlemen, for coming in, and hope we did some of that education today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having us.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.